Hi, thank you all for coming. I know at this point in the conference, everyone is pretty fried. So thank you for your efforts to pay attention. I'm going to talk with you today about the early stages of an ongoing evaluation of a family center medical home for teen parent families. It was an intervention that was designed, initially designed to prevent repeat pregnancies in teens, and also to provide broader support and family strengthening for teen parent families. I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So the program I'm going to talk with you about today is called the Generations Program. It's based at Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C. It was started in 1995, so it's an old program already. And it was started initially with a focus on preventing rapid repeat pregnancies in teens. I'm sure most of you know this, but rapid repeat pregnancies are defined as a second pregnancy within the first 24 months after a target birth. Most teen pregnancy prevention programs out there, including secondary teen pregnancy prevention, are usually sort of short-term, curriculum-based, mostly located in schools or other youth development settings. And the Generations Program was started to be an alternative model of teen pregnancy prevention. It was what used to be called the teen tot model, which basically means that primary care for teen moms and their babies were integrated. So both the mom and the baby got primary care from the same provider, usually in the same visit. And this really enabled the healthcare providers to have much more frequent contact, much greater access to the moms, to really develop ongoing relationships with them, and to work with them on family planning much more actively than they would in a sort of traditional OBGYN setting. Because as any of you who have children know, there's a lot of pediatric visits in the first couple years of a child's life. And so all of those pediatric visits then became opportunities for intervention with the mom as well as the child. Over the 20-year lifespan of this program, this mission, this focus on pregnancy prevention has remained an important focus, but the focus has also really expanded to include addressing mental health and social determinants of health. And you can see up there the fact that we now, in addition to integrating medical care for mom and child, and now also for dads as well, we also integrate intensive social work services and mental health services into this primary care setting and the primary care relationship. Before we started this evaluation, there was some preliminary evidence that this might be a promising model of care. There were four very early studies of this teen tot model, which did find some moderate prevention of repeat pregnancies, but to be perfectly honest, there were very significant methodological flaws with all four of these studies, and things like, you know, no comparison group and lots of difficulties with measurement of outcomes. So we didn't put too much stock in them. But the Generations program has been collecting their own sort of outcome documentation data over the years. And so, for instance, they generally, it changes every year, but generally the rapid repeat pregnancy rate for participants in the program hovers around just below 10%. And this is compared to reports in the literature of rates ranging from about 35 to 42%. Over 80% of the mothers participating in the program return to school and or graduate from high school within the first year after the birth of their child. And the immunization rate of the babies in the program is near 100%. So these are very good indicators. But at this point, all they really had given us was that this shows some promise as an important intervention. But there has been no rigorous evaluation to date of this model. So we decided to do that evaluation, and we asked the question, compared to standard pediatric care, does enrollment in the Generations program improve contraceptive use, depression, and school retention among teen mothers? We actually measured some other outcomes as well, but these were sort of our top three. So that's what we started working on and what I'm going to share with you today. I also just want to point out that we do ultimately intend to measure repeat pregnancies, but the data I'm going to share with you today are from our 12-month follow-up, which is just sort of too soon to have repeat pregnancies. So we'll get there, but contraceptive use is obviously a pretty good, more proximal variable. So the study I'm going to tell you about today is a quasi-experimental design. We compared a cohort of mothers in the Generations program to a demographically similar cohort from the same community who were receiving high-quality standard pediatric primary care. The baseline data for this study was collected between 2011 and 2013. We have a sample of a baseline sample of 150 teen mother baby dyads. The participants in the program so far have been interviewed at two time points: at baseline, which is program entry, so when they started participating in the Generations program, or when they brought their new baby for the comparison group to their comparison provider. And the mean age of the child at baseline was about 2.5 months old, just to give you a sense of where we are in the lifespan of the child. And then mothers in both groups were followed up 12 months later. We were able to follow up with 124 of those 150 moms for a retention rate of 83%, which we were very proud of. And the dependent variables that I'm going to talk about today are these three. Contraceptive use, I just wanted to point out how we looked at that. Because we were focused on pregnancy prevention, we looked at abstinence, barrier methods, or hormonal methods. What are not included in our contraceptive use variable are withdrawal and rhythm method. Our mental health measure was of clinical depression using the CESD. We did not look at this as a continuous variable, but instead as a dichotomous variable. For those of you familiar with this measure, you know that there's a clinical cutoff score that's designated. It's a score of 16 or above, and that indicates the presence of clinically significant symptoms of depression. So we just looked at whether a mom was reporting these clinically significant levels of depression or not. Our school retention variable is a little bit tricky because the mothers in our sample ranged in age from 13 to 19. So we would expect different things from students of those different ages in terms of their school participation. Obviously, we wouldn't expect a 13-year-old to have graduated from high school yet, and an 18 or 19-year-old might not be in school because they may have graduated already. So we made this sort of hybrid variable, asking moms whether they were either enrolled in school or had graduated from high school. Some other outcomes that we're interested in, but I'm not going to really go into today, are child health, healthcare utilization, father involvement, and social support. So I want to tell you a little bit about our sample. This is just our analytic sample, so just the 124 mothers for whom we have data at both time points. The mean age of the mothers at baseline was about 17 and a half years old, although as I mentioned, there was a pretty wide range. And their mean age at first pregnancy was about 14 and a half years old. A little over 10% of them have more than one child at baseline. The child age in months I had mentioned before was a little over 2 months old, and we did see a group difference between the Generations group and the comparison group here, only marginally significant, but the Generations babies were slightly older. There was a significant difference between the groups in terms of the percent of mothers who were living with their own mother at baseline. A larger percentage of the Generations mothers were doing so. And we saw a very large difference between the groups in terms of the percentage of mothers who were romantically involved with the father of the baby. We saw this at both time points. I have no idea why, but that there was a much higher percent of mothers in the comparison group who were still romantically involved with the father of the baby. And as you can also see here, there was a large percentage of mothers in both groups who were receiving services from WIC. Then we took a look at our outcome variables, and just in a bivariate look. And we can see here that that at 12-month follow-up, there was a significant difference between the generations group and the comparison group in terms of the percent who were using contraceptives. So there was a significantly greater percent of moms in the generations who were using contraception. And we did see the same thing with condom use. We looked at those separately, by the way, because the generations providers do advocate for their patients to use condoms for STI prevention in addition to other pregnancy prevention methods. What the other thing that is really interesting to me here in this table is that in terms of contraceptive use, is that what we see is that the generations group, basically the percent who are using contraception stays relatively stable across the 12-month time period, and in the comparison group, we see a drop-off. And that's very consistent with what we see in the literature, that there's high contraceptive use right after birth, and then it drops off over time. And so it looks like generations might be preventing that drop-off. We also looked at depression, and while we don't see any significant difference between the groups at 12 months, again, looking more descriptively, what we see is that the percent of moms in the generations group who were depressed stays pretty stable across the 12-month time period. And we see a huge jump in the percent of moms in the comparison group who report depression at the 12-month follow-up. Finally, we do see differences at both baseline and 12 months between the groups in terms of that in-school graduated variable, with a higher percentage of the moms in the generations program being either in school or having graduated. So, we wanted to do some multivariate analyses, and we included covariates for each outcome that were either theoretically and or empirically related to the outcome. This is our logistic regression looking at contraceptive use at 12 months, and what we see here is that generations mothers are more than three times as likely as comparison group mothers to be using contraception at 12 months, and that effect remains even when we control for baseline contraceptive use. The odds ratio does decrease slightly, and is still marginally significant when we add in the covariates, and that is largely because being romantically involved with the father of the baby was a very strong predictor of not using contraception at 12 months. So mothers who were romantically involved with the father of the baby were less likely to use contraception. And we see a similar pattern here with condom use, with there being with mothers in the generations program being more likely to use condoms, except we do see the significance of that finding completely disappear when we add in the covariates. And again, it's because of that romantic involvement variable. When I presented this to the providers, to the generations providers, they said, oh, of course, that mothers who perceive themselves as being in a monogamous long-term relationship don't perceive themselves as being at risk for STIs and therefore are much less likely to use condoms. So that very strong relationship seems to really drive this model. And when we looked at depression in this multivariate model, what we see is that there's not really a significant predictive effect of being in generations. Obviously, baseline depression was a very strong predictor. But we really were very focused on what we saw descriptively in those bivariate relationships. So we decided to take a look at sort of trajectories of depression over time. And we created these categorical variables. So we looked at mothers who were never depressed, so they didn't meet the clinical cutoff score at either time point. Mothers who we talked about having remittent depression, so they reported depression at time one, but not at time two. Mothers who had a late onset of depression, so they did not report it at time one, but did report it at time two. And chronic depression, meaning they reported depressive symptoms at both time points. And when we looked at these sort of longitudinal trajectories of depressive symptoms, what we saw was a significant difference between the groups, particularly in terms of late onset of depression. And what appears to be happening is that Generations does not appear to be curing existing cases of depression, but it does seem to be perhaps preventing new onset of depression. And then we looked at the school retention variable, but as you can see, the strongest predictors here of school retention was baseline school retention, as well as, interestingly, depression. Mothers who were depressed at either time point, actually, were significantly less likely to be in school. So, some conclusions from these really early findings. I think that they really do offer some strong suggestive evidence that this model has important benefits, or can have some important benefits, in terms of contraceptive use and maternal mental health. And this alternative model really has some merit. This is a model, I think this is important because this is a model that can really easily be widely implemented in primary care settings across the country. The infrastructure already exists. And the primary care setting is one that nearly all teen parent families access. So unlike interventions that are done in schools, where not all teen parents go, this is a model that potentially can have a very broad reach. Our early findings also provide some support for this idea of integrating mental health into pediatric primary care. This idea of mental health integration in primary care has been a huge topic of late in the fields of pediatrics and of mental health. The American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, I think it is, issued a joint policy statement back in 2009, actually, advocating for integrating mental health into pediatric primary care as a means of increasing access to mental health care for children and families. And there has been a sort of slow blossoming of empirical evaluation of that idea, and I think that these early findings lend some support to that model as well. Finally, we saw pretty consistently that the romantic relationship with the father of the baby was associated with decreased contraceptive and condom use. And, you know, this was a little disheartening to us because we know from other research that we've done and others have done that having a positive relationship with the father of the baby actually is associated with a lot of positive outcomes, including maternal mental health, child well-being and development. So, you know, we would not want to rush to say it's not a good thing. But it does tell us that reproductive health care providers need to very much take fathers into account when doing reproductive counseling, and that maybe instead of working with mothers on their reproductive life plan, they should be working with couples on a couple's reproductive life plan, that the quality of this relationship very much has, or the status of this relationship very much has an important influence. I do want to just mention that this study is ongoing and we've got a lot of work ahead of us. As I mentioned, we're going to be looking at a range of other outcomes. We are coming close to the conclusion of our data collection for 24-month follow-up data. So we are very eager to look at longer-term trajectories of outcomes. We also have been collecting a lot of program implementation data, and we're particularly interested in looking at the relationship between, because this is a long-term intervention with great variability of intervention dosage, we really want to try to understand the relationship between intervention dosage and outcome. We also have underway right now, actually, a cost-effectiveness analysis, because I think program administrators and policy makers and other allocators of resources really want to understand the cost piece before making decisions about implementation of intervention models. And finally, we're very interested in looking into whether this is a model that can be implemented with fidelity and with achieving similar outcomes on a larger, more widespread scale. So that's sort of on the horizon. And I just want to thank the funders of this work, my very impressive and dedicated research team, and finally the families of the Generations program. Thank you.